Welcome to a new episode of Carolyn Talks. This is the podcast slash YouTube channel where I, your host, Carolyn Hines, film critic and journalist, speak to film creatives around the world about their work, the industry, and what inspires them. And this is one of my special interviews for the 2024 South by Southwest Film Festival. And I'm here with the creative team for the film The Black Sea. I'm joined by directors Crystal Mozell and Derek B. Hardin, who also stars in the film as Khalid, and producer Isabella Senkova, to talk about this film. Thank you so much for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
us.
Thanks for having us.
So my first question is Bulgaria. So that is I think that is probably one of the most unlikely locations for a film like this, because most people will want to focus more on like Western Europe, perhaps like Paris or Italy, or somewhere a little bit more well known demographically to like the Western audience. But I thought Bulgaria was an interesting choice because it's in Eastern Europe and you're right on the coast of the Black Sea in a small coastal village. So talk to me first about selecting that location for a film like this.
Well, everyone has seen Western Europe, has been to it's been overdone. So these guys,
also, she's Bulgarian. Isabella is Bulgarian.
and
So,
that
yeah.
that small coastal town is very much a place. It's a place I've spent a lot of time in the last 20 years, and have a lot of friends and community there. But yeah, I mean, Crystal and Derek, we all travel a lot, and they don't always travel in the most common places.
Yeah, we
And
like to go places that there's no Americans.
I
just
feel
to
you.
be fr what tagline. I feel you.
But we, Isabella has the community there, so we went and visited her, and yeah, Derek got
I
inspired.
got inspired.
Yeah.
As like she said, we travel a lot, and just to mention the elephant in the room, like when I got to Bulgaria, they don't have a lot of African American people, so you can feel it, you can see it, but the culture of hip hop is very prevalent too, so you feel safe. But this was the first time as a black man that I didn't feel like somebody didn't know me. Or when somebody was looking at me, that they were just kind of judging me or prejudging. This was like innocence. If they didn't know, it just felt so heartfeltly innocent. And it felt like a place that I could play with my own stereotypes and creativity and not feel bad about it.
I understand that because the thing is I'm from Barbados, so like Barbados is a very, I guess you could say, a westernized country in the terms of like tourism is our biggest import, our biggest
Yes.
industry. So we get a lot of people literally from all over the world, including Western and Eastern Europe. And I've worked as a barista and I've worked in the tourism industry there. So I've met people from all over the world. And I have that perspective of being the local, of watching the tourists come in and interacting with them and trying to make them feel welcome, no matter if they've never been to an island or seen as many black people before. But I've also been the tourist.
Yes.
Like, I've traveled to different countries. And like recently, last year, I went to Korea twice and I went to Busan. And while Korea is very familiar with Western culture, very familiar with American culture, they're not familiar with Caribbean culture. So like
No.
I was in an area where I'm not even exaggerating, where I could be the only black person in my circle, in my line of visibility, right? And then if they asked me, someone would come up and ask me, oh, like they'd assume I'm American, they never think outside of America. So I'd be like, no, I'm from the Caribbean. They're like, Caribbean, which,
Where
and
is
I'd be like,
this?
Barbados, and I'd be like, they'd be like, Barbados, I'm like, Rihanna,
They say,
so
oh
like,
yeah, we know.
right? So I when I was watching the film, I'll admit the film seemed a little bit off kilter to me. I was like, what's happening here? But then as it got more into it, I related to the character of Khalid in that way, where like the people are nice, but you don't feel excluded based on race, but you do feel excluded based on the fact that they're not familiar where you're from. Like they don't know
From, yeah.
where you're from. So I relate to that. So talk to me about the style of filming, because this kind of felt kind of like improvisational, but almost like guerrilla filming, whereas like you have a script, you have a plan, you have a production plan, but if something happened, you're like, you know what? Let's interact with these people and make this story work this way. Because I wondered if a lot of the interactions that Khalid had were scripted, or if some of them were like you and like the character of Ina played by
We don't have a script.
There's no script.
There was no script, right? I wondered about, because I was like, this is giving me guerrilla style filming. Like the character of Ina played by Ermina Chichikova, there are times where her reactions were so just like, what is happening? I was like, this cannot be scripted. So talk to me about approaching the situation this way with no script, because like you have to also hope that the people that you're meeting, the locals, don't say something offensive or like wayward, or you know, just do something that is not only dangerous but just like won't work for a film.
We don't hope, we just do it, and we kind of trust the process, know that really amazing, you know, things will come from just, you know, I think Derek will just go up to anybody and talk to them or bring them into a scene without them even knowing what's happening. but yeah, we kind of just, you know, we had an idea that, you know, Khalid's gonna get stuck in this place, and he figured out how we're gonna make that work with the fortune teller and the Raya woman who ends up, you know, passing away, and then we kind of just built the story as we went and knew what we were building towards, but a lot of it was just, you know, interacting with locals, and everybody was on board. You know, it was fun. It was fun for this place to kind of have this film crew around, and everybody wanted to be in the film. And some days they were all watching us. Other days, you know,
they would just be hanging. Like the set kept getting, as we kept finishing the movie, the set kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Because it would be like just people that we had filmed 2 days ago. They're like, oh, I'm going to you're filming, I'm gonna come by. So yeah, we had more crew than what we started out with, but it was just our support system, and because Isabel opened the door to Shizopo for us.
And also, like, Derek, wherever he goes, he becomes like the unofficial mayor of that place. So I really trusted that the story would build just from his natural charisma, that wherever we go, he, you know, this can happen. Like it's a thing that Eric will meet every single person and become a character in that place and know the locals and say hi to everybody. It's like that's just very much who he is. So,
but it's also the fact that Crystal Moselle and Isabella, they come from such a dark world, achieving some stuff that people dream of, you know, Wolfpack, Skate Kitchen. So I think that documentary style, guerrilla, as you said, that type of style mixed with me as a underground hip hop artist, I think that blended what you see in this movie. And we all came up with this phrase that we share synergy with. And it's a phrase that will be used 30 plus years from today. It really describes what this film is for us and the making of this improvisational film. It's called cinematic freestyling.
No, it works, and it really works in this film, because it's one it is, as I said, the film, when it at first started out, it was like, what is happening? Especially with him like trying to be a gigolo. I'm like, what are you doing? Going to Bulgaria with no plan. No charger. How do you travel halfway across the world with no charger? Shame on Khalid. When he said that, was like, really, guys? Like, no charger? No plan.
He was down bad. He thought he was going to come up.
Yeah. But a charger? He has a charger.
Yeah, he thought he would have one.
Yeah.
And an iPhone charger at that. Like, come on now.
He quit his job. He was ready.
Was he, though?
No, he was not ready. He was not ready.
I love how you're getting scolded.
Yeah, she said, was he though? Yeah, he was not ready.
Because the thing is like, and the film is kind of like that, you know, like where, as you said, because you didn't have a script, you didn't really have a set plan for how things would roll out. It Like, as the character of Khalid developed and his relationship with the cat, with the people that you interacted with developed, so too does the story. So too the story begins to make more sense that way. You know, the story begins to feel more organically grown and developed, and you really get to get the sense of like, I can see how someone settles into a new place. And like me being an immigrant, I've been there where like you're like, even with a plan, even when I moved there with a plan with my twin sister, nothing really goes to plan once you actually land and get in, you know, like you meet people who will say things and you'll be like, okay, this wasn't what I expected. Like the things that you hoped would happen, hope to get a job by a particular time, didn't happen, you know, and the job that you set out to do isn't the job that you're actually ending up doing, you know. Like he started a matcha cafe of all things, and I thought it was really interesting. And something I want Isabella to talk on is, and both you and Isabella to talk on, is the similarities in culture, where like no matter where you go, there are things culturally similar that you can have with people. Like for instance, like the princesa. I'm like, I grew up in Barbados, and that's something I still eat today. A slice of bread toasted with cheese and tomato, and like that's a snack for me. That's something I grew up eating as a child, and I still eat that as a adult because I sometimes just don't make feel like making a full 3-course meal. But like it shows that you can have these similarities with people. Sometimes they don't have the same name, but the foundation of like the things were like food, cultural behaviors, the way, you know, like how you speak to your elders, these things are cultural touchstones no matter where you go. So Isabella, as the producer, but also being someone from Bulgaria and having like this familiarity with the location, can you talk about inserting those kind of like elements into the story and into Khalid's interactions with Ina in particular?
I think we tried to be intentional about that, like to find these kind of not overly obvious things that would connect the two of them. And I think part of it, I mean, the pepper roaster, that was something that already on his first trip to Bulgaria the previous summer, Derek was like super into. And you know, even I think like every Bulgarian actually really cherishes like the pepper roaster, you
It's a
know?
thing. It's a thing.
There's a real nostalgia about it. And
It's like doubles for trainees.
so we were it is truly.
kind of looking for these kind of little elements that would underline the commonalities, the, you know, rather than the differences. And I think they just kind of happened naturally. I mean, as part of the improv process too, just seeing how, like, for them, seeing how things are done there or how people react to things. And then
No, the discovery was, you know, everything kind of just fell into place. And I think because we've done documentaries before, you know that there's always a story. And everything that you can find something, you can find a story. And then, you know, it's like the little details of the comedy be like, oh, that's perfect. You know, let's include this. We were trying to find the similarities within the cultures that we could bring out. But you know, I think Isabella already said that it's just like the subtleties was really
And like you were saying, it was the communism versus the welfare kind of theory. It's like Black Americans grew up very in a communist union. That's they grew up like communists because they, you know, in theory, you have to wait online for everything. So if you were on American welfare system, you know, the cheese line, the milk line,
The bread
the food
line.
stamps line. So it was very parallel to what, you know, people that had to live through communism went.
And you know, I think that I mean, in some way there is you can draw a comparison between like Bulgaria, like these smaller Eastern European like countries and African Americans' experience in America, because you know they're like Bulgaria is one of the poorest countries in the European Union. Like they're, I think Bulgarians suffer in like a self-esteem because they have been, you know, like because of that, because they are the poorest, because they've always, you know, they've always been kind of ruled by somebody else, And it's, I think you can draw similarities with
100%.
the African American experience. And I think that was like the underlying connection between Ina and Khalid in the film.
Like we're both underdogs, you know, like we both trying to come up
And having to gain the self-confidence to do
to
to
do that.
make just even a small dream come true, making a small little place. And I think that, you know, Khalid like was able to empower her, and you know, she gave him the space to do his thing. So
I think one of the greatest storylines in this movie for me is that I never told you this, but is that Ina is a shop renter. She's not a shop owner. So, and Khalid, he doesn't even have a shop. He's acting like this is his shop. This shop is, Ina doesn't, she can lose this shop any day, and so can Khalid. And I like that they operate as if something is theirs.
What I thought was interesting is that he gave her the confidence to finally take that step out and like own the shop for herself, and she gave him the confidence to stick to a plan, you know, like before he was, you get the sense that he owes people a lot of money because he makes plans, but he doesn't follow through. But this is the first time
See,
he's
spot
following
on.
through,
Pretty good.
and he's following through because he has her believing in him and depending on him. Whereas, like, from the conversations, there's like two people he has conversations with back home, and you get like the sense, it's not that they don't dislike him, he's a very likable character, but they're like, I can't trust you to follow through. So it's like, you still owe me money. Why are you calling me and asking me for more money when you already owe me money? But Ina doesn't have that history with him, you know. She It's like a clean slate completely with him, so she doesn't have any kind of preconceptions about Khalid. And so when he shows her that he can make the sandwich and that they have that in common, and that he has this, the matcha tea was interesting because if we were talking about commonalities between the cultures with regards to like welfare system and communism, but also the food. But I thought it was interesting that the thing that's bringing them closer together is something that is not native to either of their cultures, which is matcha tea, which matches from Japan. You know, and he's showing her how to make this thing that she is not really familiar with. Like, she has matcha, but it's like not real matcha. It's like, what is that, powder? Like, I don't know what it was, but he
Mud. Mud.
right, and he knows how to make it because he goes and takes the broom and he takes the whisk, because for matcha you need a very special whisk that's usually made from bamboo to make it. And he finds the tools and he makes it, and he proves to her, I can do this thing, you know. And it's to some people it might be just a simple cup of tea, but for him it's like, no, I'm showing that I have the knowledge and the ability and the to find the tools that I need to make this dream come true, right? And I think that's what really it gets her to listen to him, because this one thing is where he shows her that he has ingenuity, you know, and he's able to think quickly on his feet. No mind, that broom was not clean. I don't care what he said. That was a your broom. That was a yard broom. I was like, where are you getting with this yard broom to go and make this wish for this year? I was like, you better not do it. And he did it. I was like, come on now, stop, really? But like, that scene really shows like this is what he's capable of. And then he takes it and he grows it, you know, he expands on it. So I thought it was interesting that this thing that brings them a new light actually isn't from either of their cultures. So I thought it was a very interesting juxtaposition in the narrative. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about the matcha and the
Well, I
whiskey.
can tell you about the matcha because there's some truth behind the matcha. I'm a barista.
I was a barista too. We got a lot in common.
Yeah, so I work in coffee still.
Derek still is a barista.
Oh, so.
Yeah, so that's my goal is to be a working class celebrity. And the matcha comes from is the metaphor for how Brooklyn, the place that I was born and raised at, has changed. Of course, there are healthy versions of gentrification, and of course, there are bad versions of gentrification. So the matcha represents that for me, like the difference. And now I'm going to take this Japanese drink to another place and introduce it and do what they did in my borough to me, somewhere else.
But you did it the right way. You did it the right, you showed them the right, which I think is where people don't understand about gentrification. Yes,
Yes.
you can introduce new cultures, new ways of
Yes.
doing things,
And
but
you have to take the person from the neighborhood and give them the job. You
exactly,
can't
and
you can't.
respect it, right? Exactly.
Yes.
Don't say you bring a matcha and then just go and bring some
Exactly.
retail like virgin matcha. No, bring me the real matcha, then I can truly appreciate it. If you're not going to be honest and authentic, what's the point of it, right? So I kind of, and that's where I think he comes in because Khaled is kind of like that way. He could be like looked at as almost as like a gentrifier, but he's coming with a sense of authenticity behind it. You know, he's not coming to change the people. He's coming to work with them, which is the difference of integration and assimilation. He's not coming to make them assimilate to him or to assimilate into their culture. He's integrating into it naturally and be staying true to himself.
That's true.
I love one of my favorite lines in the movie is like, ever since they gentrified Brooklyn, it's all
Zone.
I drink. So it's like we're not like hiding away from what he's doing. Like he's aware that
Ever since they gentrified Brooklyn, it's all I drink. They showed me how to do this, so I take it everywhere. And that's what I use for coffee. Like, I wouldn't have survived a gentrified Brooklyn. I'm a high school dropout. I graduated eighth grade. I worked in fashion. I was a visual merchandiser. I brought H&M to the America. I've been very fortunate enough to get cool jobs. But as I got older, the cool jobs died down from when you're not 20 anymore. So I had to find a profession. And coffee was the profession that the newly gentrified people of Brooklyn, it took them so long to teach me, but that's what I used to want to learn. Like, I have to learn this because I can go to Paris and do this. I can go anywhere and be a barista. So, yeah.
You if you do it well and if you do it with like authenticity, it'll work out, right?
100%.
Right.
100%.
And for you, Isabella, we just talk from the as a producer, your job is to make sure things work, that the film works the way it's supposed to work. You know, that the plans that you have are well thought out and that they're executed. But for a film that has no script, for things where you have like Derek and Ina and like just organically interacting with the people they meet and the situation just flowing naturally from there, what was that like for you as a producer? And then also like not only producing on the film, but working with, I guess you would say, like the Bulgarian film community and like even with the people in the locations, because you got to make sure that you have permission to go to certain locations and that you can film. And like, what was it like? What was that process like for you working on a film that operated like this?
It was a dance. I mean, I think I part of the one of the things I love about like film production is that you're always presented with like unexpected situations, and you have to figure out in the moment how to work them out and keep going, And this film from like the very beginning until the very end was that. Like, there was not a moment to breathe, and
Maybe this morning there was a moment of breathing
to
because we got past the premiere, and then everybody slept a little bit late for the first time.
but it was just we had to be on our toes the entire time because things were changing. We had a schedule that was
Never.
thrown out the window every morning, and the new schedule was made on the hour, and
Our AD.
it was pretty wild in that respect. But it also made it really fun and spontaneous, and so, and I think that one of the other things is like because Bulgaria is so small and everyone kind of knows each other. I mean, we basically, greenlit the film 2 weeks before we started shooting. So I had to put together a crew, a full film crew in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
And
And they were fantastic.
no, I mean the quality of work there is great because they shoot a lot, but I think that there's not many places you could do it in such a short period of time, and that was really to our advantage.
Tell me
Absolutely.
about casting Ermina to play Ina, because like your plans were kind of like not planning. How did it go with like casting her and then getting her to basically go along with your style of filmmaking? Because as an actress, she has one idea of performance and filming and direction and all of that. But then once she gets into the setting, she realizes, oh wait, this is not what I was expecting. And then she's probably maybe interacting with people that she knows if she's from that area. And then but she has to like do it in a way where she's comfortable, but then she's also like, this is a style of filmmaking that I've never done, but you know what? It works for this story. Like, what was it like casting her, then working with her on set, especially for you, Derek? Her the character, the way you her character is introduced is you think that she's just gonna be a character that's just gonna be there, then not like some of them, but then she comes back, and then she's a driving force for Khalid to improve himself, and she tests him, you know, and she's like telling him to step up, and she's like, I'm trusting you to like step up and be there and stay there. And she becomes a very, very important person in his life, and not only think for him, but I think in an extension, the people that he his family back home, because without her motivating him to do better, he doesn't become better for his family and his friends, you know. Also, talk about working with Ina, Ermina, and casting her and like developing that friendship with the two characters. So you can go, Derek.
Oh, okay. I mean, we had did some rehearsal, just like in Crystal's way of seeing if
Chemistry test.
chemistry test. And
But she was the only one running for the part.
yeah,
And
so
we even like talked with her about like her personal experience and worked that into the character. So, but go on.
yes. So once we did the chemistry test, it was there, and we just I think that one of the first scenes we shot was where I say, "You guys, you Gorgie, whatever the fuck your name is, you guys are disgusting. You guys are all weirdos." That was the scene. That was the first shot of
The movie.
the movie. That's the first scene we ever did. So that was kind of
Was a chemistry
that
test,
was the
and we used
chemistry
it in the
test.
movie.
And when I was like, "Stay, go your way, go your way."
We instantly, like, the minute they got together, like, we're just like, you're hired, you know? And she was so open to the process. I mean,
Yeah.
it's hard. She's never done like an improv movie before, and it's challenging and exhausting, and she's fantastic.
She, I mean, it people think my performance is good. I have to credit it to Ermina because it's a huge reflection of being able to bounce. You know, I could be good at basketball and have four players that suck, and we won't win, I promise you. But I wanted to win, and she is very skilled and talented, as well as Stoyo. So I had the greatest luck of having my debut acting to be with people who act every day. So even though we're doing improv and it's kind of funky, guerrilla style, these are professional actors. So when I'm reflecting and bouncing off of these guys, it's gonna work because they know what they're doing, and they also helping me, you know. If we cut a scene, Ermina might give me a line or two, like, "Listen, calm down a little bit on that next one. Try that one." Like, so I think that those things are fun.
Yeah, she balanced you out because she helped you to like just like tone it down a bit, and when it needed to be toned down. And then there's scenes where like you being hyper
Yeah,
makes sense, and
exactly.
then there's somewhere you're like, and you know, like, I don't want to borrow the phrase, don't freak out the natives, but you know, it's
Yeah.
like, that kind of way, but it works. And I'm so happy that I actually got to speak with all three of you, because it actually makes me understand the film better. Because, like, people watching this film and not having the background of knowing that it's improv would be like, this feels chaotic. But then you realize it was chaotic, but it worked, because like moving to another country with no plan is chaotic. You know, that's
But
immigrating
that's,
is
you
chaotic.
know, that's the goodness of chaos. You know, that's the goodness of chaos. And it's like, there's a few famous things. There's a famous phrase called faith in chaos. It's also what Darren Aronofsky, his parenthesis title to his famous movie Pi, was called faith in chaos. And if you're faithful, it's like the eye of the storm. You know, if the calm is in the storm, it's in the middle of the storm. So, yes, it's
There's also,
uniquely chaotic.
yeah, there's a great term also, like the edge of chaos, on the edge of
In
chaos,
chaos, yeah.
which I love that, because it's like what. Also, when you're like, you have something due for 2 weeks, and then you do it like the last minute, you know?
On the edge
Right.
of
Yeah. Like
chaos, yeah.
our whole energy was that. We're like, we're just doing it because we have to do it because we have
Yeah,
to.
but you can find order in chaos, right? And at the end of it,
A
you had a
hundred percent.
complete movie. So like, I
A
guess
hundred percent.
it's like that. You found the order within the chaos, you know, made it work for you. Thank you so much, all three of you, for speaking with me. The
Thank
film
you.
is like I'm getting better at seeing. I'm like, okay, this plan works. I'm like, this makes sense now. The film makes sense, and like, this is just life, you know, like you can't plan everything. And I think that that's one of the thing the film is teaching is like you can't plan everything. Like if you go with the flow, sometimes the flow will take you where you need to go. But again, thank you so much for joining me and for talking about the
Thank
film.
you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice
thank
to meet
you.
you.
Nice to meet you. And thank you for your feedback. This is amazing.
Great. Thank you so much. And have a good day. Have a good festival.
Thank
Blessings.
you. All right.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, everyone. That was another episode of Carolyn Talks. And today I was joined by filmmakers Derek B. Harden and Krista Mazel and producer Isabella Senkova to talk about their film, The Black Sea, which was an unscripted feature about Khalid, played by Harden, who finds himself in a small coastal town in Bulgaria on the Black Sea. And as you can get from our discussion, like filming was chaotic, but it worked out. They found the order in the chaos. And I loved having that observation from them and coming to that revelation myself, not only watching the film, but being able to understand it the more I spoke to them. And that's one of the reasons I like talking to filmmakers, because sometimes I'll watch a film and I'll be like, I don't get it. I see where you're going, but I need some context and some explanation. Then once I get the explanation, then it makes sense. And then the film really does make sense. And it is very much very true to life for a lot of people when they move just ups and suddenly move to a completely new country, even a new city in the same country where they live, but like they're completely unprepared and they don't know the environment, they don't know the people, but they have to find their way around. And this is the film perfectly captures that. It's a bit chaotic in the fact that the things that Khalid experiences and the things that people say to him and do are like, what on earth is happening here? But it works out, and I love how like Derek spoke a bit about the gentrification and how the character of Khalid could be kind of seen as a gentrifier, but the way that he does it is he integrates instead of assimilates, as we talked about in the interview. So it was great to speak to them about the film, and I really appreciated their insights in it. And I hope you guys enjoyed this interview. I certainly did. And I just think it's a really fun and a very unique film. And if you get a chance to watch it, watch it. You can go to their Instagram page for information. And the Instagram page is just the at symbol, the Black Sea film. That's where you can follow them and get updates on the film. Of course, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Carrie, CNH12, that's CarrieCNH12. You'll find this podcast episode in video format if you'd like to watch it on my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/@Carolyn_Hines. Find this and many other interviews that I've done for different film festivals and then for independent interviews that I've done. Just sometimes out of curiosity, like when I get publicists reach out to me and say, would you like to interview this person? And I'll be like, sure, I'll do it. But then sometimes I'll reach out to the publicist and say, I'd love to interview this person. And that's how it goes. You know, that's how my channel works. And that's how my work as a film critic goes. And it's so much fun for me to do all of these different interviews with different people from all over the world about different stories. There's so many stories being told. And that's something that I love being able to discover and sharing with my listeners and my audience and the people who read my pieces and even follow me on Twitter. If you'd like to see more of my work that's in written format, like interviews, op-eds, film analysis, film reviews, and TV reviews, and other pieces that I've done, go to my R3 page. That's r3.com/Carolyn Hines. I call it my digital portfolio. So you'll find links for all of that there as well as for. So here's what happened podcast and my Asian drama podcast, Beyond the Romance, and you can find those on Acast as well. I haven't published anything for Beyond the Romance in a while. I'll get to it this year. That's one of my goals for this year. I just need to plan a bit better and like come up with a schedule. I'll finish here. So until the next episode of Carolyn Talks, everyone, stay safe. Bye.